We're talking today with Riley Pageant, who's working for the National FFA organization. Of course, it seems like a few days ago, Riley, we were talking the year that you were national president upstairs in the media room at the basketball arena in Indianapolis, and you had a great year that year. And before that, obviously a great member here in the state of Oklahoma. Tell me a little bit about your role representing FFA and the Blue and Gold Jackets in Washington.
Yeah, it's been a really cool opportunity to go back and work for National FFA in Washington, D.C., in the D.C. area. You know, right after serving as a national officer, of course, went back to Oklahoma State, finished up school there, and then moved to D.C., what was supposed to be only temporary, but turned into at least a six-year stint really quickly, working for then-chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Frank Lucas, and then for a short stint with Senator James Lankford, again from Oklahoma. And right after that stint with Senator Lankford, went to go work for National FFA. And it's just been a really cool full-circle moment getting to go into some of those offices on the Hill and interact with our government representatives and elected officials to tell the story of agricultural education, agriculture, career and tech ed, and then, of course, FFA.
I bet you find every level of literacy about FFA within the government. I mean, you've got folks, obviously, that get it, the Frank Lucases of the world, but then there's a lot that probably know very little.
Oh, absolutely. You see a scope for sure. And even if they're not as familiar with FFA, as soon as they see that blue jacket, they're at least reminded of the good that comes from those blue jackets and this program, or they're familiar with career and technical education. And so it's just a matter of when we're working with those elected leaders, really monitoring where they stand on certain political issues. If they're an educational guru, we lead with career and technical education in that meeting. If they're an ag guru, we often lead with, hey, did you know that we're the largest supplier, if you will, of young people into ag careers in the nation. And then, of course, if they're an FFA member themselves, we can't help but lead with the blue jacket and talk about personal FFA experiences.
Of course, that ready-made force of folks that have got a great work ethic and have got a lot of skills as well, that's something that so many of the sponsors of FFA really, really are excited about.
Yeah, and we're excited about that too. You know, I think as a young person, I felt the impact of corporate sponsors at any level, local, state, you know, even district and certainly national, and they're giving to FFA and agricultural education programs. And now as a staff member for National FFA, we see that, you know, just over and over and over again for every program and every system that we implement into schools and communities. They see that young people are ready for jobs, but they also see that they're ready to serve in their communities. They're ready to raise families that have the same ideals. So it's a really cool opportunity for me. And I think for those corporate sponsors too, to come back to conventions like here in Oklahoma and see the product that that folks are so familiar with.
As you try to put those messages out to government, whether it's on the legislative side, on the executive side, you know, what are the two or three things you're really trying to leave in their mind about the value of FFA?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing that we, after we discuss career and technical or FFA or ag and lead with those things, I think the first thing that we try to lead with is, you know, there are X number of jobs in the agriculture sector. We know that that's the folks that we're employing to fill those roles annually will be a shortfall. To do better and to fill those jobs and to educate folks about food and agriculture and the careers that are associated with natural resources and fiber, we've got to do a better job in our classrooms, in our communities, in the grocery stores. And on top of that, we've got to do a job almost like a second tier and not just educating the folks that are in our classrooms, but teaching them then how to also educate folks. So, you know, It's a fun job for me, but I think it's a really cool opportunity and a much needed one when we're able to get FFA members in those meetings on any level. It could be a, you know, county commissioner level, or it could be a federal government elected leaders level. And we're able to tell them our story and how FFA's benefited us and how we're better served because of the programs in which we participated in.
In your mind, as you obviously see FFA at that national level, you see a lot of variety of how FFA is done from one, you know, from the urban area to the most rural areas, which you obviously have got your roots in. You know, what are the common bonds that make FFA work from the very biggest cities to the smallest communities?
It does look differently. FFA and agricultural education absolutely looks different no matter, you know, different parts of the country that you go to. We have programs in 20 of the 21 largest cities, and also one third of our members come from rural on-the-farm areas in the United States. And so it certainly looks different depending on the region you come from, depending on the setting. But the thing that's the most consistent, I think, are the values that this program has instilled in them, the things that you talked about, Ron, hard work and trusting. And those are the things we know about our brand. But I think also the things that tie them together are the science and communications and business of agriculture and food. And there used to be bumper stickers back in the day that said, if you eat, you're involved in agriculture. And that seems silly to a lot of us now, but it's so dang true. And if you eat and if food matters to you, then you ought to be engaged with agricultural education programs or at least, heck, an FFA member in your neck of the woods.
Where's the national office? Where are some things that need to be done to better position FFA for being successful in the future?
Yeah, so I think some things legislatively that National FFA is currently working on in our nation's capital are repositioning our federal charter. You know, you may not know this, but National FFA has a federal charter with the U.S. Department of Education. That's to publicly tie the importance of ag ed to FFA and to these young people that we serve so well. Like I said, came around in 1950, was amended in the late 1990s, just for technical amendments, and hasn't been touched since. And so as we look to a modern era of agricultural education and of FFA and what that means to train young people in the science, communications, and business of agricultural education, food, ag science, then I think we also have to look at the way that we tie ourselves to the U.S. Department of Education. And so we currently have amendments in both the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate that would do that. They would amend our federal charter and do things like, hey, if the National FFA organization wants to send a hard magazine out to folks every quarter, then let them do it. But let them be the decider of that, right? A magazine might have made sense in 1950s, but maybe not in 2018. It also gives us the opportunity to look at the number of our national officers. And we serve a wide variety of members in every neck of the woods in the U.S. We've grown a lot since the 1950s. Is it just six that makes sense? I don't know. But why should the U.S. Department of Education be the ones telling us we're only limited to six? And then, of course, it makes sure that that three-component model that we all know so well, ag education in the classroom, FFA and leadership development, and supervised ag experience, hands-on work-based experience outside of the classroom, is visual in that federal charter, and that the U.S. Department of Education knows that it's there, and that they're also still tied to us with the Secretary of Education or that person's designee serving as our board chair.
One other thing is, I know that House Ag Committee, as they've done their markup, included an interesting position, a position kind of an advocacy within the department, working with youth organizations specifically. I know that FFA is kind of excited about that, the potential of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So last National Ag Day, which we know is in March, so in March of 2017, we had 100 youth involved in food and agriculture join us in Washington, D.C., and those youth represented 4-H, FFA, and two other organizations that are becoming really well-known in the ag industry, and that's Manners, Minorities in Ag, Natural Resources, and Related Sciences, and then also the Ag Future of America. Those four organizations alone and the students that represented them came to the table in March of 2017 and said, hey, we need a voice also at USDA. We see that USDA has a voice for military veterans liaison, for women in agriculture, for faith-based organizations, and for young producers. But how do we broaden this sector of agriculture and let folks at USDA be an advocate for us and also align some of our ideals with theirs and serve members at any interest in food and agriculture? And so on that date in March 2017, we issued a letter to Congress and said, hey, could you please support the next generation of agriculture? And could you please create a liaison, if you will, in the secretary's office that advocates on behalf of young farmers, ranchers, and youth in food and agriculture? It took us a year, but we sure did it. And on this Ag Day, and then shortly thereafter in 2018, the House Ag Committee Farm Bill came out and did just that. It created a position in the Office of Partnerships and Public Engagement at the Secretary of Agriculture's office at USDA. We're anticipating the Senate Farm Bill will have a similar provision. A marker bill from Senator Heitkamp and Senator Collins has been introduced that would do just that. And so we're hoping to make sure that those are included in the Farm Bill so that our goals align with USDA and that youth don't go without a voice there.